You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. Well, the Business of Real Estate event is over for another year, but we still have one more coach who spoke at the event to give you some leadership tips, and that's Shane Kempton from Drive Performance. Shane has a really interesting background from real estate to the army, back to real estate, spending time as Group CEO for both Professionals and Harcourts WA. He's now a coach with Drive Performance. In this episode of the podcast, we really dig into answering the question, are leaders born or made? Why team experience or TX is critical for a good customer experience, and why you need the trifecta of documented vision, purpose, and values to achieve both. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, Shane Kempton.
Hey, Sam, how are you today?
Really good, thanks. And yourself?
I am absolutely fantastic. Thanks for asking.
So today we're going to be talking about leadership, and you've had a long career in real estate leadership. So you've served for Australia in the army, and you've also had CEO positions with both Harcourts and the Professionals, and now you're a professional speaker and a mentor, as well as being an accountability and business coach. So give the listeners a little bit of background on the path that you've travelled to get where you are today.
Thanks, Sam. Look, it's been an interesting journey and one with lots of highs and lows along the way. But I started in the real estate industry back in 1995, had a great mentor at the time, Jeff Baldwin, who was a great leader and taught me the ropes. And I spent 5 years as a salesperson, did quite well, but I had the wrong game plan back then. The market crashed over here in Western Australia and I was still spending money as if I was earning great income. And slowly but surely, the bank account went empty and I was left with my tail between my legs, not in a really good financial position. I actually jumped ship from my boss thinking I'd chase an extra 1% from a competitor. And in the end, that just spiraled me all around the wrong way and I ended up going broke. And I went back to my original boss, Jeff, and I said, mate, what have I stuffed up? You know, I've jumped ship, you know. And he says, mate, you need to learn about loyalty and discipline. Go join the army. And so I did. So that's how my military career began. And I spent 5 years in the military, learned a lot about discipline. I had to lose a little bit of weight to get in there. So I had to switch on my discipline before I joined the army. And the way that all came about was I was just that hungry and I had this vision of being in the military and specifically working with the SAS. And that vision switched on my discipline and my desire. And I ended up serving 5 years. My last two was with the Special Air Service Regiment, which was a fantastic couple of years. You have to give 6 months' notice when you were in the military. And I called my boss back. I said, Jeff, look, I'm ready to come back. I've learnt my lesson. And he said, that's great, mate, but you're starting at the bottom of the ladder again. So went back to Jeff as a salesperson, worked my way up to sales manager, and ended up buying the business off of Jeff. And that business was with Roy Weston at the time over here in Perth. Then we went through a rebrand to Harcourts during that time. I had that business for about 5 or 6 years. It was the number one for Roy Weston, then number one for Harcourts in Australia at the time, which was great. I sold the business, went into the CEO position for Harcourts here in Western Australia, did that for a couple of years, and then went off coaching and training within the industry, then outside the industry. And then I got approached by Professionals here in Perth to say, hey, we're looking for a new CEO. I was ready to come back into corporate life. I'd sort of been out in the wilderness for 5 or 6 years on my own, and I like leading people, so it was a great opportunity to get a hold of a network marketing group rather than a franchise, and I hadn't led one of those before. So looked after Western Australia and Northern Territory for a couple of years, and then I was the inaugural full-time group CEO for Professionals. So I was looking at predominantly Australia, but from a brand level, looking after New Zealand as well, and we went through a major rebrand a few years ago, and that, some good learnings came out of that. And then I stepped down from that role June last year and have been back in the coaching and training space with Michael Sheargold. He's head coach for Drive Performance. It's a coaching program that he and I have developed, and it's a great mix of his IP, my experience, and we're really excited about where we're going with Drive Performance.
So that's quite a long career in leadership and a fairly interesting path. Are there any particular lessons in leadership that you've taken away, firstly, from your time with the army?
To me, the key lessons that I got out of the military were about working with others. Like sometimes you don't always like someone, but you have to get along with them. And the military is one of those unique environments where you're given a small team that you're working with and you have to get along. And sometimes you're away from home, you're in unique situations, and you just have to work as a team to get along. And it's more about personal leadership rather than one main leadership. I mean, everybody is a leader. And more personal leadership will have the biggest impact on your life and your career, etc. So the military taught me about personal leadership, and from there you develop those skills. Leadership is a skill. No one's born a leader. You may be born charismatic, etc., but leadership is a skill that can be learnt. And the best leaders that I've known and worked with are those that have continually to hone their skills and to be have that unquenchable thirst to be a better leader. And to be a great leader, you've really got to know yourself. You've got to understand yourself before you can start understanding others. So that whole journey of personal leadership, personal discovery is so important if you want to be an effective leader.
Can you name someone that has had a big impact on you as a leader?
I'm a big advocate for coaches and mentors, always have been, and I still have them today. I still have coaches and mentors in my life. It'd be a little bit hypocritical, me being a coach, not actually being coached myself. But my grandfather, I grew up without a father, and my granddad was my role model in my life, and he was always big on fitness and keeping fit. He'd served as well in the military, so was disciplined but always maintained his fitness. So growing up, my grandfather was the great role model for me. My first boss, who I mentioned before, Jeff, he was a great business leader for me and taught me some good skills from a business side of things. And then probably more recently, I've always worked very closely with Matt Church. He's been a great positive leader for me. And now with my partnership with Michael Sheargold and Shane McLucas, both those boys are great leaders and have great skill sets in what they do. So I'm learning from them as well. Plus, I'm an avid reader and listener. Like, I've got my virtual coaches like Robin Sharma. He's a fantastic influence and very much on the human side of things, which is what I'm big on. Really about the whole human experience, and Robin really articulates that well in his training.
What is one of your favourite lessons from Robin? I know he's a favourite of a lot of people out there.
I think it's that whole empathy side of things and the personal leadership message that he brings as well. You know, that whole understanding of other people, understanding yourself before you can understand others is probably a key takeaway that I've got from Robin over the years. Everyone talks about the 5 a.m. club and all that sort of stuff. I first heard that from Robin 15, 20 years ago, that whole power hour in the morning. And that's probably one of the main disciplines I've taken away from him is that get up early, spend that hour, invest that hour in yourself, in meditating, exercising, setting your day up. That 20 minutes in each one of those spaces really sets you up for the rest of the day.
So is that what the first hour of your day looks like? Are you a 5 a.m. clubber?
I'd be telling Porky Pies if I said I'd get up at 5 o'clock every day, particularly I'm looking out the window now and it's a cold, wet day here in Perth, and I wasn't up at 5 o'clock this morning, but I was up early. In summertime, I'm up around 5, 5:30. Wintertime, it's probably more around the 6-ish, 6:30, but I do spend that first hour of my day always exercising. I stay away from my phone. The only time I'll pick up my phone is to put an audio book on if I'm taking the dog for a walk or going for a gym, but I always try and start the day with exercise, and it may be a gym. It could be simple as walking the dog. I put the earphones in and I listen to some great audio book. Then I'll get home, check my diary, what have I got planned for the day, revisit some of my objectives I want to hit for the day, for the week, for the month. And I guess one of the key lessons, if I just revert back to what Robin does, and one of the reminders he always tells us is that our days are our lives in miniature. So every moment counts, you know, living in the moment. And I want to set myself up on the front foot every day and know that I've got that competitive edge over others. Now, I know when I was CEO, not every CEO was getting up at 5 o'clock and doing what I was doing. So already I was winning the mental game and having that competitive edge.
It's so important. This podcast or this series of podcasts that we're doing is called The Leadership Diaries. And I know that there's a lot of aspiring leaders out there that are probably wondering, what are some of the things that you do? So I'm going to ask you a series of questions just on leadership and what are some of the things that you do?
Yeah, love to share.
Okay, so who are you learning from right now?
So right now I am studying, I'm doing a couple of courses. I'm wanting to formalise my 2 decades of coaching and get recognised by the International Coaching Federation. So I'm going through that process there and getting an international qualification. I'm learning a lot from Michael as well, Michael Sheargold, from the coaching. He's one of the masters when it comes to coaching and asking great questions and asking powerful questions. And his coaching techniques are something that I want to apply all my knowledge and learn his techniques as well. I've just finished reading a great book called The Leadership Secrets from the Australian Army, which was a great little read. But I'm constantly learning, so it's hard to say just one person. I try to surround myself with people smarter than me.
Where do great ideas in your business come from?
Look, it's the constantly learning. I try to go through at least one or two audiobooks a week. So I'm always reading, always learning, applying those things in my life, then sharing it with my coaching clients as well.
So what has been the most recent great idea that you've picked up?
There's a lot of talk around the customer experience, CX. There's a lot of chatter out there, and there has been now for a little while. But the key thing for me, and something that I put my business upon and in my leadership positions, is the customer experience, or what we call in the network the client experience, is critical. But that doesn't happen unless you've created an amazing team experience. So I talk on TX, which is the team experience, because our people, they amplify our leadership. We can't do it all on our own. We need people around us. And that's the beautiful thing and the gift of leadership, is that we get to work with some great people. And my focus is to create an amazing experience for them and an environment where they can shine, because then my leadership gets amplified out into the marketplace. Yeah. And I think recently, in the last few years, well, I set up a military motorcycle club for our veterans, you know, and we've lost too many of our veterans to suicide. In fact, we've lost more of our veterans to suicide than we have to active service. And being an ex-military person myself, I wanted to do something about that. And so I combined my love of motorcycles with my passion for wanting to do something for our returning veterans. And I had this vision of creating an environment where they could get together, they could talk to each other, which is probably one of the main things they need to do, but also go out and visit the older veterans and help them, and giving our newest veterans a sense of purpose again, so they feel this uselessness and they don't know where they belong anymore. So the club was about giving them a safe place where they belonged. There were some disciplines in there. That vision, I couldn't do that on my own. I had to share that vision, and people had to buy into that vision. And to me, that's the most important thing, is creating that environment where people can amplify your leadership and your vision out into the marketplace.
In a consistent way, right? Because what we're seeing in the real estate industry is a big trend towards teams, because it's no point in one person giving a great experience and then another person kind of falling off, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's what could be systems-based but values-driven.
That's a good one, systems-based but values-driven.
It's not an either-or, it's a yes-and. If it needs repeating, it needs a system, so that's in place, but it's got to be backed up by a set of core values so we know how to behave. That consistency comes from our values, you know, having people align with the same beliefs, where they want to be, the same ethics, all those things are really important. So then when they apply the system, the narrative is consistent.
So that actually is a good lead into my next question, which is about recruitment. So obviously the people that you recruit into your team are key to the success of that team. So what is your favorite question to ask someone in a job interview, and what does the answer tell you about that person?
I'm a very curious person by nature, and I love meeting new people. In the days when I was building a team and recruiting, one of the key questions I would ask would be, what have you achieved in your personal time? And that gives me a sense of how driven they are, how disciplined they are, what they're into, et cetera, because if someone's gone out and got a black belt in some sort of martial art, well, then I know they're very focused, they're very driven, they're committed, and they'll follow through. Now, if they've gone and self-educated and got themselves an advanced diploma or something like that to further their own education, their own expertise, that's always impressive. Or if they've been home looking after kids for the last 10 years, there is another accomplishment as well. You know, there's no greater job in life than being a parent. So dividing and giving up your life to bring up a family also shows dedication, loyalty, nurturing, etc. So it's what people do in their private time, that personal time, the things they've achieved, has always been a great question I like to ask.
What is one characteristic that you think every leader should have?
Can I have two?
Okay, you can have two.
Can I squeeze you for two? So I think these go hand in hand, but humility, I think, as a leader is just so imperative. And you can't have humility without having empathy, you know. So you've got to understand others before you can understand yourself. And the whole humility thing is not a weakness. To me, it's a strength. It's about saying, thanks, we've done a great job, but we can keep getting better. We can keep getting better. Being a leader is not about being a power, authoritative type role. It's a service role. You know, we're in service for other people as leadership. So you don't become the leader to stop working. You actually start working twice as hard when you're the leader. And I think being humble and having humility, I think, is the key to fantastic leadership.
If culture is defined as the way that we do things in a business, how would you advise a principal to help a new employee or team member understand the culture of their business?
It's so important, because if you don't fit in with the culture, it's going to be a tough job for anyone to join a team. I think there's a couple of things that can happen. I think knowing the backstory of the business is really important. Now, when we went through the whole rebrand at Professionals, I had to really rally the troops around the country, you know, to work together as one team is a bit of narrative that we use. But it was connecting back to the original story, which really dug up our culture. Over 40 years ago, six independent entrepreneurial real estate agents got together and said, there's got to be a better way. And that story really connected and drove our culture that I was trying to recreate back at Professionals, challenging the status quo, looking for a better way to do things. And that was the foundations of Professionals, how it was born now over 40 years ago, with that story. So that was a real connection back to the culture. But if you think about the definition of culture, is really just our collective behavior. Behavior is on the tip of the iceberg. We see behavior, which is really manifesting what's happening below the surface, which is our attitude, and what drives our attitude as our values and beliefs. So getting really connected with what the values are of the business will determine what the attitude is and then what the eventual behaviors are. So I think leaders need to be able to articulate their values of the business very clearly and simply, because those values are going to drive the behaviors, the eventual behaviors of new people joining the team, and connecting it to a why. Simon Sinek's written a great book, and everyone quotes it, called Start With Why. And it's so true. You know, as a business leader, you've got to know why you're in business. Why do you do? Why have you created this organization? The money and the profits are a nice side effect, but there was a deeper reason why you went out on a limb, you took your mortgage, you backed yourself to set up this business. What was that reason why? You know, and if you can articulate that and tell that story and connect it with your values, there's your culture. And it's not a written document. It's how you behave. It's how you talk. It's the language that you're using within the organisation. That's the culture.
Yeah, that's super powerful. And, I mean, you've said that a couple of times now, is that it's about the values. Maybe just to sum that up, if your values are not defined within your business, that's something that you probably need to do ASAP.
100%. It's this foundation, these three building blocks you build your business upon. It's your vision, it's your purpose, and it's your values. They are the three non-negotiables. Without that, you've got a shaky foundation. They are the cornerstone of which you build a magnificent business upon.
What advice would you give to someone going into a leadership position for the first time, drawing on all of your experience from the Professionals and Harcourts and the Army? What advice would you give?
I think it's a lot about listening. In all my CEO positions that I've held, the first 3 to 6 months was about listening, finding out what the state of the nation was, what's happening on the front line, not going in there and saying I'm going to change the world, but actually finding out where the business is at, what's going on with the people on the ground, and really listening and understanding and getting your finger on the pulse where the organization's at. Win the hearts and minds of people, and then from there you can start to introduce change and change things. These going in there and riding in on your white horse and being the savior of the business is poor leadership. There's a really good book called Good to Great, and I talk about the five levels of leadership, and that level four leadership coming in on being the savior and the business is all about you and nothing would have happened without that leader is not quite there. But that level five leadership, that person that is behind the scenes that lets the team take the victories, you be the one that'll cop the criticism and take the falls for the team. It's that level five, unassuming sort of leadership, which I really love. And I think if you're going to emulate yourself and develop skills as a leader, do a lot of listening first, understand your people that you're serving, and be coming from a position of service, not from a position of dictatorship. You are serving the people that you are leading. And if I was going to suggest a book for someone to read, there's a couple of books, but one of the great books out there right now is Legacy by James Kerr.
And I love that book.
It's an amazing book. You can pick that up in any chapter and read through it. And yes, Simon Sinek's book, you know, Start With Why is a great starting point. But if you want to bookend the story, grab Legacy. just understand that whole culture. While I was at Harcourts, I had the privilege to work with Gilbert Anoka, and that whole rebuilding of the All Blacks was happening while I was at Harcourts, and Gilbert was sharing a lot of these techniques in the book that has now been written about. He was sharing that with us as leaders within the organisation. So it was a fantastic time to be part of that organisation, and to be learning from someone like Gilbert was a real privilege. And I'll never forget, there was a moment there, we were going through a really tough time, and we were actually going through the rebrand from Roy Westerns to Harcourts. And I was CEO at the time, and it was a real challenging time, as you can imagine. And Gilbert actually did a personal haka for me. The haka about giving you the challenge. Are you willing to take the challenge on? And having someone give you a haka directly to you, it was one of the most humbling, amazing experiences that I had, you know, to take the challenge up of this whole rebrand and where we were going was quite a privilege and an honour. And I'll always be grateful for those times I learnt from Gilbert, because he's truly a magnificent leader and coach. My journey in the different businesses that I've been in and organisations that I've led, even from the military through the motorcycle clubs, the different secret societies I've been a part of, there's all these rituals that tell the deeper story, the greater meaning behind what's going on. And I think when you can connect to that and this whole human experience, when you can connect to the meaning of things, it really is a powerful shift.
Have you seen any great rituals among the real estate businesses that you've worked with?
Different businesses have different things that they do. And it may sound corny, but it's all these little one percenters that build up, like doing the birthday cake. When it's someone's birthday, you bring the birthday in and everyone has to have a piece. Having a casual day on a Friday for something. Those rituals like that, there could be a Christmas party at the end of the year can be a certain ritual as well, you know, that a team is famous. I know one of the businesses that I worked for wasn't real estate, but it was in the mining industry. I was chairman of this company, and there people join that business just to be part of their annual Christmas party that they would do at the races. Like this unbelievable party that would go on. There were so many presents. The whole families went there as well, like kids and everything. It was just an amazing experience. It's lots of little things and different artifacts that you do within your business that creates these rituals.
What's the worst advice you've ever heard given to someone starting a career in real estate or going into a leadership role?
The worst advice is saying that it's all about you. Like as the leader, you've got to be the powerful leader out there. You've got to dictate the terms, and you can't be a nice person. I guess like that whole having that distance as a leader, I think the better leader are those that understand their people more. And there is that line where you can cross, but I think being a standoff leader and not having any relationship with the people that you are leading, I don't think that's good advice at all. I think you need to understand your people and build that respect and rapport with them if you're going to be able to lead them.
That's interesting that you say that, because some people believe that showing too much of themselves can be a little bit of a sign of weakness. Mm. But what you're saying is that's the exact opposite.
I think being vulnerable as a leader is powerful. If you can show your people and be vulnerable, what's in all your strengths and your weaknesses, and being vulnerable is actually a strength but a weakness. And in a world of transparency now, you can't hide anyway. You know, you can't hide things anymore. We're all connected. There's more transparency. Our consumers, everyone's demanding transparency, and you can't hide anymore. So why try to be something that you're not? Be vulnerable. Show them where your strengths and your weaknesses are. Then you're more relatable. Then you get respect. And I think that authentic leadership is such a powerful, and trying to be something that you're not, you're going to get found out, and you're going to crash from a great height.
Yeah. Shane Kempton, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sam. Have a great day.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.